22nd of Shvat, is the Yahrzeit of the Kutzker Rebbe, in Menachem Mendel Morgenstern. Kutzker Rebbe is an important personality in the Chassidus. There are four branches that are associated with Kutzk. There's really no Kutzker Chassidim today. After he died, that whole lineage essentially moved over to Ger. So Kutzk is responsible for Ger Chassidus. It's responsible for Ishbitz Chassidus. There's some falling out between the Ishbitzer of Lehner and the Kutzk. It's not clear why, but he left. After the Ishbitzer left the Kutzker Rebbe secluded himself in his room for the last 20 years of his life. A very interesting personality. Sachachav is also a descendant of the Kutzker Rebbe. And Pashischa, well, Simcha Bunim was the Kutzker Rebbe's Rebbe. So those are the four branches of Chassidus that are associated. And of course, probably the most influential is the Ger Chassidus, which comes from Kutzk. Now, what did the Kutzker Rebbe stand for that was unique? What makes the Kutzker Rebbe different than other Chassidus? So this is a long conversation. I don't want to take too much time today. But I would say there are four things. See if I can read you this quote. Heschel wrote a book comparing Kutz to Kierkegaard. If anyone's into comparing one to another, you'll find that a very interesting book. But I wanted to quote an interesting quote of his I thought really nailed this issue, this one aspect. If I could find it here. Give me a second. It is comparatively easy, writes Heschel, to preach joy and fervor, Chassidus. But to demand truth is like shaping a marble without tools. So the Kutzke went looking for a few surging people and called loudly upon their souls to bend their conceit and see the truth beneath the soil. This is not a philosophical inquiry into the nature of truth, it wasn't sitting and philosophizing, but a scrutiny of men's lives in relation to truth. Religion, the Kutzker maintained, was not simply an act of adopting a system of beliefs and modes of conduct. Tests and trial were needed. So Chassidus, its general approach was Avas Am Yisrael, accepting, we call it inclusion, people who were far from full Torah compliance, creating a net of inclusion. And this is a bit of a break from Chassidus, demanding truth. The Kutzker once said, again, there's so many quotes, but the Kutzker once said, again, just give me a second. I want to be able to give you some of these quotes. Again, I apologize. He said, I don't need hundreds of Hasidim. I just need a few. I just need a few passionate Hasidim who are willing to put cabbage on their head or something, you know, to make themselves stay awake and go the distance. As he would say, well, I don't need 1,000 Hasidim. I only need 300 young Hasidim. They'll put like a cabbage on their head. They'll tie themselves to a chair or something. They'll go up on top of the roofs and they'll scream Hashem Hu Elokim. Basically, I just need passionate, truthful people rather than hordes and hordes of Hasidim. So there's a bit of a shift in Hasidus from this inclusion to creating a pursuit of truth and all the statements. Let's see if I can find a quick statement. You can copy anything in the world except for truth, because forced truth or reproduced truth is not really truth. Trying to think of another famous quote. We'll suffice with that. Number two, what he's known for, very, very radical, very extreme. One of his famous expressions, only horses walk in the middle of the road. People walk on the sides of the road. Very, very cutting, very almost abrasive. You want to be a human being, go to the extreme. He instructed that all of his firm be burnt when he died. Because he didn't want, he said, my Talmidim are living people. And I don't want, and we picked up a little bit of that in Rav Amital. Rav Amital, who came from a Hasidic background, would quote the Kutzker Rebbe a lot. Rav Amital had that sense, I don't want people to mimic me, I don't want small Amitals, I want people to find their own identity and be inspirited by my, and it's a very dangerous, that's why not many people ended up, people were very intimidated and impressed by the Kutzker, but it's hard to fashion your life with such abrasive. But he tilted some of the Hasidic tendency towards inclusion to be able to be exclusive. He's very exclusive. I don't want thousands of Hasidim. I'm not going to write my Torah for everyone to read. And a lot of the ideas we have were then assembled by later generations. We don't really have much of his writings. The one letter to the Ger Rebbe, but not much more. Anyone lives in Scarsdale, has friends that lives in Scarsdale. The rabbi in Scarsdale is in it, by the name of Rabbi Jonathan Morgenstern. Jonathan Morgenstern is presumably the eighth generation from the Kutzker Rebbe. His name, because Kutzker's name was Morgenstern. So actually, I'm in contact with him from time to time. So his email is kutzkertruth@gmail.com. So you can email him and get his opinion as part of the family, what that stands for. Daniel.
Is there any relationship Kfir Morgenstern?
Tom?
There's a Kfir Morgenstern, Sean, I wish you
had that. I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I don't think every Morgenstern is related to that Morgenstern, but you'd have to ask him. Another thing he's known for, very short sayings that are counterintuitive. I told you a lot, Rav Amital was counterintuitive. One day you'll appreciate this much more, but he always forced us to see things with a fresh set of eyes. So, for example, let me give you a Rav Amital example. This I heard from Rav Yoel Amital, who's his son, who's a Rebbe in Shalavim. He told me that, evidently, at some point, the Brigham Young, the Mormons, wanted to start a missionary and give up Mordechai. And Rav Amital was one of the respected leaders of the community. So everyone came over, let's sign a petition, let's protest. Rav Amital threw them out of the house, very Kutzker-like. So Rav Yoel, the son, said, Abba, don't you realize they'll open up a missionary, they're going to proselytize, they'll preach Christianity, Mormon. So Rav Amital told his son, they're going to open up the missionary somewhere. If it's not here, it'll be in Petach Tikva. If it's not in Petach Tikva, it'll be in Chayiv. If it's not in Chayiv, it'll be in Tel Aviv. I'd rather they open up and give up Mordechai right near the Chevron Yeshiva. The Chevron Yeshiva was known producing what's called sharks, very sharp, combative, self-assured, see, continuation of Slobodka. So let him open up the monastery or the missionary right near the Chevron Yeshiva, and the Chevron Bachrum will have them for breakfast, and within 3 weeks it will close. I want them to open it here. Kachaya, they opened the missionary. The Chevroners had them for breakfast. By the time it was finished, they closed the missionary 3 weeks later. That sense of being able to see things from a different perspective, not just the classic perspective would be protest, close it, they shouldn't open it. So, for example, Kutzker quoted this morning. Okay, let me give you an example. A very famous Kutzker statement. My father always quoted this to me. Why is the curse for the snake, if the snake is moving or transporting itself on its belly and eats everything on the ground, I don't mean ground, but it means rodents and weasels, so it's a bracha because it has endless food. We have to cook our food, we have to bake our food. Could you imagine if we lived on our bellies and we just ate insects, we wouldn't have to struggle for our food. That's a bracha, not a klala. The Kutzker said, because you have your food so readily available, you don't feel dependency upon a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So it's obvious, you just have to turn it around and see a larger truth. The Gemara says you have to open your heart the size of a needle in order for a Kaddish Baruch Hu to enter. Why does the Gemara say size of a needle, not the size of something small? And most people feel because a needle is very small. But he says, you have to open your heart the size of a needle and allow that needle to scratch your heart. Namely, you have to allow that penetration that a needle is typically associated with. It's not just how far you open your heart, but how willing you are to let something enter your heart. Or something I mentioned today, he says, if you see people making quick decisions, they're lazy. If you see people making deliberate, protracted decisions, they're active. Zrizim. What does that mean? Normally we associate zrizis with quick activity. It says because there's zrizis of mental activity. So if you want to make decisions quickly, you're lazy. You don't want to go through the process of thinking and exploring. But if you take decisions in a slow process, then you're not lazy because you're thinking about all the options. And I was able to see this in Rav Lichtenstein, who thought of every single angle and every single perspective and every decision was long and drawn out, not because he was lazy, because he was thorough. And thorough is a form of mental alacrity. So I would say those are the three or four innovations of Kutzk, or the Kutzker Rebbe. Number one, inclusion versus exclusion. Creating, as Heschel said, a religion of fervor and joy, a religion of truth. Number two, radical, very, very extreme. Sequestering himself, looking for truth, being willing to go to all ends of the earth to find that internal truth rather than just take what we would call practice formulas of Avodas Hashem. Can't be careful. It sounds very exciting, and I'm going to search for truth. I think it has to be in moderation. That's why the Kutzker Mahalach can't be the Mahalach. Number three, short little witticisms, lines, very often counterintuitive. It's like people quote the Kutzker Rebbe so often. The Kutzker said this, the Kutzker said that, in a way that you don't often quote other Hasidic Rebbeim, because you've got these little compact lines that people are aware of, even non-Jews, very often quote Kutzk, because he's got these quick little witticisms that are very biting and penetrating. Number three, I would say, this is not that much, number four, not so much of a break with Hasidus, but the willingness to be chutzpedik in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem wants you to be chutzpedik, not just to be submissive. So just, for example, this is generally true of Hasidus, of Rebbe Yitzchak of Berditchev, but the Kutzker Rebbe, and what this will end, evidently one said, when Mashiach comes, everyone's going to run to see Mashiach and greet him and dance with him and bring him to Yerushalayim. I'm going to wait 2 weeks. So the Talmidim said, Rebbe, you're going to wait 2 weeks? Why are you going to wait 2 weeks? Because I'm going to go see Mashiach after 2 weeks, and Mashiach's going to say, Reb Mendel, where were you? I waited for you. And I'm going to say, you waited for me? Ah, chutzpah. You waited for me? I waited for you for thousands of years. Don't you tell me you waited for me. So I'll get him back. That type of chutzpah you find in a lot of the Kutzkers, because you want that personal side of the human side. I mentioned this morning, I saw it after davening. Anshe Kodesh Tirunli, another famous Kutzkavar. Hashem wants you to be Kodesh, but Hashem wants you to be human beings. Not Kedoshim to you, but Anshe Kodesh Tirunli, to be Anshe Kodesh. So there's a lot out there. You can, I'm sure, go online and find famous quotes of the Kutzker in Hebrew and English. A lot of very fascinating quotes, hundreds and hundreds that have been assembled. To be honest, it's hard to know which are the authentic quotes, which are not. There's an entire liturgy of quotes that are associated with him, but it's certainly a major, major force in shaping Hasidus. I would say probably the most lasting legacy of Kutzk in the world of Hasidus is, number one, returning the center of gravity of Hasidus to Talmud Torah. In the early, early generations, many Hasiduses, many types of Hasidus veered from the centrality of Talmud Torah, because theirs was an innovation to replace Talmud Torah as the center with other forms of religious experience. He was a Talmud Chacham. He wasn't born into a Hasidic family. He was schooled in the typical yeshivas in Poland. And that redistribution of center of gravity upon Talmud Torah was then bequeathed to Ger and was bequeathed to Ishbitz. And that really changed Hasidus, brought it back, and ultimately led to Hasidus being more accepted by non-Hasidim. Once they saw that the Hasidim were learning with the same fervor, with the same rigor, with the same thoroughness, Talmud Torah was center, then the difference between Hasidus and non-Hasidus became, I would say, Kutzk / Ger / Ichpitz / Slagachev. Who was the most famous Slagachev Rebbe? Big Leitel. Leitel wrote a very famous Sefer on Shabbos, which we'll use next year a lot when we learn Shabbos. So the Slagachev was grandson. That whole movement really stabilized Hasidus and Talmud Torah. And I'd say it's probably second of all, introducing a healthy degree of chutzpah in religion. I haven't really developed it that much. Maybe I'll send out a couple of quotes today on the WhatsApp, some of his quotes that are representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanting us to be chutzpahdik in pursuing Mashiach and the needs of Am Yisrael. So today's his yahrzeit, and certainly someone that left a very, very deep impression on Hasidus in general, Am Yisrael in particular. Okay. With a half hour left, we'll pick this up later in the week. Let's get back to Chatzer. Okay. How do we get to Chatzer in our Sikha?